I greet you once again, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 8. We hear now the word of God. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to cheer and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hurt. A time for war and a time for peace. I draw attention to our very first verse. For everything that is, for everything there is a season and a time for everything. This is the word of God. Time changes, and you and I would confess that we are not in control. We are not in charge of time. The Lord changes time from seconds to minutes, to days, to weeks, to months, to years. And the year can be divided in four seasons: spring, summer, and autumn, and winter. The change of seasons can be an exciting time, filled with annual activities and holidays that we look forward to. But at the same time, the change of season can also be time when people become so anxious. If we let our worries to cloud our perspective as if we were in charge of time, we can become very worried. But remember this, that not I, but the Lord changes time. The writer of this book introduces himself as Goheleth, a Hebrew word meaning preacher, or teacher, or collector of sayings. Ecclesiastes 1:1 reads, "The preacher, the son of David, king in Israel." Goheleth, what does that mean? Who is this man? Goheleth is identified as Solomon. For at one time, we know that Solomon was king in Israel. He was the direct son of David. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, Goheleth is said to be the wise preacher, one who taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. And this is the Bible's description of Solomon as writer of Proverbs, if you're reading Kings chapter 4 verse 32, but also Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1. That's how the Bible describes Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes begins with Solomon's declaration that everything is meaningless. Chapter 1 verse 1. As he reflects on the meaning of life, he saw the futility of chasing after things like wisdom, or things including wisdom, work, pleasure, and wealth. As the writer reflects on the meaning of life, he saw the futility, the vanity of chasing after things such as wisdom, work, pleasure, and wealth. Now, all these things, they satisfy us to some extent, but for a very short period of time. Because death, wisdom reveals, because death comes to all people, young or old, rich or poor, and death puts an end to such earthly satisfaction. But to one or to him who lives in fear of the Lord, he will enjoy God's good gifts in eternity. Solomon had seen the ups and the downs of life. And so he asked the difficult question, why is there so much suffering, and where is God in the midst of all such suffering? Particularly in chapter 3, Solomon reveals that there is a proper time for everything, and that God is in full control. In this chapter, chapter 3, Solomon affirms the seasons of joy and the seasons of hardship, the high and the low seasons, the valleys of despair and the peaks of honor. This is the flow of life that we can anticipate. Therefore, let us look to God, for he is in full control. And you and I, you would say, but there are some seasons I've gone through and I don't know what God was busy doing with me. There are some seasons you've gone through that you don't know why you had to go through them. But definitely, God, who is in full control, knows, and he has a purpose. And so the big question we can ask is, why does the Lord change seasons? Why? Number one, to bring new changes. According to this one, wisdom reveals that for everything there is a season. Now from this verse we notice that the things we go through, good or bad in life, are not in vain. And secondly, our situations will not last forever. It will change. The God who is in control will change the situation. If you are in a certain season of life, you can be confident that that season will come to an end. Our focus verse reminds us that our circumstances will change. Whatever God takes us through, he has a purpose. Perhaps to deepen our faith in him, to help us achieve a breakthrough in that particular area of our life, but God has a purpose for every season. And we will get over our sorrows. We will get out of the valley. We will go through hardships. The writer is not saying once you believe or once you become a child of God and there'll be no hardships. Yes, hardships will be there. That season will come. That season will also come to an end. That's the word of comfort and hope that we find in verse 1. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. If you look at the world around us, you're going to realize that things look a bit different today than they looked a few weeks ago. It was very cold and it has just become much warmer. Change is inevitable. It is going to happen. And the Lord is in full control and the Lord changes seasons. He changes seasons, and each season is different from the other seasons. Some seasons are meant for things to grow, and some seasons for things to die off. In some seasons, days are longer than nights. Seasons bring new changes. Sometimes we are filled with joy, but sometimes we have sorrow. We are filled with sadness. There are those moments when night time comes. There are those moments when night time seems as if it will never come to an end. In those long nights when the tears seem like they will never stop flowing. But the morning did come. And the tears ceased and joy returned to your soul. This must remind us that the Lord is in full control. Not I, but the Lord. Only He is able to bring new changes. Dear friends, we are creatures of habit. And if the Lord didn't change things, we would become complacent, self-satisfied in one place. But the Lord wants us to always depend on Him for every second, for every season which comes. I want to illustrate this with Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. We find the story of Peter who entered into a new season. When Jesus called Peter to follow him, listen to Matthew 4, 18 to 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Bible says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. What do we see here? A new change had come for Peter and Andrew. It was a new season. Jesus is here demonstrating his sovereignty. These brothers didn't change themselves. They were fishermen, but Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This was a new chapter. It was a new season. They were formed from fishermen to fishers of people for God's kingdom. Now this was a new season and it had brought new changes, definitely. It was more than just a change in vocation that occurred in Peter's life, but there was an inward change of heart. Why does the Lord change seasons? To bring new changes, that's true, but also to bring new challenges. And some of us do not like challenges. We don't like new challenges especially. But you like it or you don't like it, you'll be challenged. Life got challenges. Wisdom reveals that life gets hard. As we know, but things happen for a purpose, according to wisdom. And we learn, according to wisdom, that bad things not only happen to non-believers, but challenges also come to us. Bad things happen even to those who follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Sinful nature, dear friends, has left nothing untouched. And this is why we wait for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But until then, we know that we will go through tough seasons, just as much as we go through joyful seasons. What does Jesus say about tough seasons in our lives? Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulations. Oh, I thought maybe when we believe in Jesus, no more challenges. It's all going to be nice and rosy. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus affirms with Old Testament wisdom that we will always have seasons of troubles in this world. But there is also good news. We are encouraged to find peace in Jesus, and to look to Jesus for peace. Notice the hope found in Ecclesiastes. These seasons of suffering, the seasons of hurt and death, they will come. They will come. No matter the season, let us therefore look to Jesus and rest in his everlasting peace. And again, I go to the life of Peter to illustrate this truth. There is no doubt that when Peter and Andrew were called to follow Jesus, that they were confronted not only with new changes, but also with new challenges. Look at Peter's faith, for instance. Peter's faith was challenged by stepping out of a storm-battered boat to walk on the water. Now, this guy was a fisherman, and he knew that you don't walk on water. Jesus said, yes, come. Peter's feelings were challenged when 1 minute he was proclaiming Jesus, the Son of God, and the next minute being rebuked by Jesus and being called Satan. Hence, Jesus telling him to get behind him. Peter's feelings were challenged. Not only his faith, not only his feelings were challenged, Peter's humility was challenged when the Son of God, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, lowered himself to the point of servant to wash the feet of his disciples. For a moment, Peter would think, no, Master, but can't do that to me. Peter's humility was challenged. Peter stepped up to the challenge. However, there is that one particular time when it seems as if he was failing. When it seems as if he stepped into a season of failure. And he went from being a follower of Jesus on a close range to following Jesus on a distance. Let me remind you what happened in the courtyard. Peter denied knowing the Lord 3 times. And the 3rd time, the rooster crowed. It was at that time when Peter remembered the warning and the words of Jesus Christ before the rooster crows. You will deny me 3 times. And he ran off and he wept bitterly. Dear friends, like what happened to Peter, time does come for you and I to step into a season bringing new changes, but even more so bringing new challenges, and perhaps you're feeling empty despite your best efforts. Perhaps you're feeling, you know, dry spiritually. You feel as if you have left or you have let the Lord down. And you begin to believe you are but a failure. Perhaps you are not closely following the Lord, but on a distance. Dear friend, while everything else changes, the Lord Jesus does not change. He is constant. He remains sovereign. He wants you and I to look up to him and never away from him. Remember, there is purpose for every season. What Peter didn't know and what most of us fail to understand sometimes or to realize is that Christ's love is greater than our failure. When we fail to meet the challenge, there is grace and mercy that is far greater than our shortcomings. And sometimes we tend to look at our shortcomings. We tend to look at the wrong you have done last week and last month, and you feel, but I'm just a horrible sinner. How can I even come in the presence of the Lord? There was a time of new change, and a time of new challenges, but all this turned Peter into a new and a better Christian, follower of Christ. We can even say a new champion, a sharp instrument in the hands of the Lord. So the Lord changes seasons to bring new changes and new challenges, but ultimately to give birth to new champions. I'll explain that. The Lord changes seasons for a purpose. He makes everything beautiful in his time. Remember, he is Redeemer. In a biblical sense, redemption means that Jesus' work on the cross has covered our sins. His sacrificial love has offset and delivered us from sinfulness. It has delivered us from death and from guilt. God's redemptive work makes all things, including you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus, beautiful. This concept of redemption that we find in Scripture teaches us that God will redeem us from despair and work all things together for the good of those who love Him. We find this promise written that God will make everything beautiful in its due season. Things may look messy. You may look at yourself and say, am I even a Christian the Lord Jesus expects to be? God will judge right from wrong and bring about justice. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, God will make things right. We may not always know how and when He will make all things beautiful, yet wisdom teaches us to look up to Him, to trust Him, and to know that He is in full control. Pray for it to happen also in your life. And put your trust fully in God to redeem even the worst of our circumstances. Again, we can look into the story of Peter, and you would know that Peter had a choice. He could have done what most of us do today, to use our failures as an excuse for becoming a distant follower of Jesus. Or like Judas, who ultimately killed himself. But what did Peter do? He repented. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 2 and to see what Peter is doing. Yes, the Lord had brought a new season in his life where he was encountering new changes and new challenges. But even more so, look to what kind of a man Peter had become after all that. In Acts chapter 2, we hear him preaching. He's witnessing to the mighty works of God through Jesus. And listen to what Peter says. Acts chapter 2 verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, including me. I'm a witness. Oh, but one who denied him. Yes, it was a new season. It brought new changes. It challenged Peter. But what was the purpose? God made him a better child of God, a better witness, a better instrument in the kingdom of God. And what do we hear him? We hear him preaching Jesus. The same Peter. Peter was transformed, remember, from a fisherman into a fisher of men. Peter was transformed into a preaching powerhouse. And those who knew Peter about 3 years before should have been surprised, perhaps, to see the new person that he had become. And the point here is, for every season, the Lord has a purpose. Therefore, the new season was necessary to Peter. Even if new season bring new changes and challenges, but it is necessary. For ultimately, it gives birth to a transformed child of God. Peter had become not just a believer of Jesus from a distance, like at one point in one season, but he had become a strong instrument and a sharp instrument in the hands of God. Peter was now witnessing to the mighty works of God. What can we learn from verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3? There is time for everything. For everything there is a season. And a time for every matter under heaven. Clearly, the Lord is in control of all seasons. Solomon goes to great length to preach that we must put out our trust in God's sovereignty, which means he is in full control. And there are sometimes you go through some season and you go like, am I all by myself? What is happening here? God is with us in the hardest battles. He guides our steps from one season to the next. He sees what is coming ahead of us and will provide what we need to get through. He is in control. Having gone through life, Solomon must have learned and must have experienced this and must have understood that no matter the season, God is in full control. No matter what season we are going through, God is always present and always leading us through for the purpose of his glory. Sometimes the students will come up to me and say, why do you give us a test? Can't you just trust us that you've been lecturing us and, you know, it's fine, it's cool. Why a test? Why an exam? Isn't there a season of learning in class? There should come a season of testing, checking whether you understand everything we've been learning. The greatest hope we have in seasons of trouble or change is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We may experience God's timing as difficult, and some seasons are much harder, very difficult. We may experience God's timing, sometimes to be late or very hard, but know this, that God has a purpose even for the most difficult seasons. And that God's timing is perfect. And it always comes to pass in a way that will bring goodness rather than hopelessness. When we wake up, we can trust that whatever season we are, whether it be difficult or easy, hard, it is not by accident. The Lord has allowed it. And the Lord will provide the wisdom that is necessary and the strength for us to become faithful children of God. Every season is purposeful in leading us into a deeper relationship with God and creating unshakable faith, like we see much later in the life of Peter. We can hope that the Lord will give us seasons of joy and know that He wants us to enjoy life. Yes, there is time for mourning or weeping, but life is not all about mourning or weeping. We should celebrate the goodness of life and the ways God has gifted us with His favor. God knows and is in full control of every season. Endure and trust that He is with you every step, every second, every season. Let us depend on the Lord regardless of the situation, because He loves us and will journey with us each second that ticks, each minute, each day, each month, each year. What is your season? What is happening in your life? Do you look up to the Lord to carry you through? God is the author of each second. Don't take it for granted. God is the author of each second, of each season we go through. Though life is not always nice and easy, instead of getting lost in despair, let us find comfort and hope in God, knowing that He is in charge of each and every second, knowing that He controls every season. God brings us to new seasons for a purpose. And some seasons we may not understand, but God, why me? Why should I go through this season? The point is, look to Him. Trust in Him. When everything else changes, God is constant. He does not change. God brings us to new seasons, changes our circumstances, and gives fullness and value of existence. And sometimes you'd come to this one point where you feel, what is even the value of life? Because it's a difficult season, right? But trust God. Look to Him. He gives fullness and value to our existence in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we say thank you for loving us and for reminding us and for teaching us wisdom that for everything and for every season, for every time, you are actively involved. There is nothing that happens, there is nothing that you allow to happen, which comes as a surprise to you. Our prayer now is that you may teach us to look up to you and to trust you. And sometimes we do pass through some very difficult seasons. Father, it's our prayer that you may humble us, not to look into ourselves, but to look to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We pray that He will sustain us. We pray that He will carry us through. We pray that Christ alone will give us hope and joy, even in the midst of the most difficult seasons of our lives. We pray for one another, even as we are here at Mukanyo and as we are involved in the teaching and learning of your word. And we know that some of us are currently passing through very difficult seasons, but even in such difficult seasons, we can pray and we can look up to you and we can trust that you will carry us through. We can trust that these difficult moments will not remain forever. We can trust that our tears will not flow forever, but that you give us tears of joy, that you give us peace in Christ Jesus. These things we pray that will be true for each one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.